The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
This is Brett Harper and Alex McFarland. In that introduction, you heard about the mysteries of God. I just want to tell you, there's more than we can count. He has revealed himself through his word, through Jesus Christ, but yet God, he is knowable, but you can't know him all. So we hope to let you know about this great God on this program, Exploring the Word. And it's good to be back after a week of absence. Alex, it's good to be back with you, brother.
Well, it's good to have you back. We missed you last week. We knew you had important things going on, but Wesley and I did the show. And, you know, you were talking about being in the Word and having insight into the mysteries of God. Do you know, I was reading 1 John over the weekend because I really love the book of 1 John. I was reading verse 19 of chapter 3, and it's talking about we praise God because we've overcome the world, we've overcome the wicked one, our sins are forgiven. And I love this. It says, we praise God because through Jesus, we are of the truth.
Of the truth. Isn't that great?
And you know, I mean, think about it, Bert. There's so much in this world that's false.
Yes.
And people sometimes spend their entire lives on something that turns out not to be real or not to be true. I think one of the reasons that, I mean, we could almost turn a cartwheel with joy is because through Jesus and through the Word of God, we have found out what is true.
And it sets you free. And
yeah.
That's the neat part. Everything about truth in Jesus Christ is good. Will there be a price to pay? Yes, there is, but that price is worth it. Anything I've ever seen that's worth anything, there's a price that goes behind it. The good thing about Jesus Christ, he's paid the ultimate price on the cross where he secured our salvation through the best sacrifice. Matter of fact, that better sacrifice is a little bit of introduction of the book that we're going to start today, and that's the book of Hebrews. But before we do that, I need to give some shout-outs, and I know you had the opportunity to thank the folks from Fayetteville, North Carolina last week, but I haven't been on since I was there. Fridays a week ago, and I want to just tell you, I had the greatest time there at Heart and Soul in downtown Fayetteville, North Carolina. I made a record, though, I think, Alex. I preached the shortest sermon I've ever preached, 10 minutes. And I was asking my wife, Jan, about it, and she said, yeah, about 10 minutes. And I said, well, does that mean that sermon, I need to preach it that short every time? And, you know, there's some disagreement on that or not. But we had a great time in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and I just want to say thank you for doing the work and making that possible for us to be there at Heart and Soul and let Exploring the Word and AFR be a part of that.
Well, yeah, and we're still hearing from those dear people. And you know what was really great, folks? Some of you that were there will know about it, but, you know, Judge Paul Newby spoke, and there were a lot of young people that prayed, and there was great music, and Bert shared, and I got to share. But then together, this was really special to me, together, Bert and I did the altar call.
Amen.
And shared the gospel, and there was a great response. I will say this, next March, March 26th through 29th, I know this is a long way away, but Bert and I are going to be together in Oklahoma City, and we'll be telling you more about that. There's a church called Britton Baptist Church, Britton, Britton Baptist in Oklahoma City, Reverend Rick Belisek. And so we've got plenty of time to keep you guys aware of that. But we love to do this show. We love to be out there preaching the word and meeting people that, like ourselves, believe the hope of this nation is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It is. It's only helped. One more shout out, and that's to Smithville Baptist Church. That's where I was last week. That's here in Mississippi, just south of here. Wes White is their great pastor. He was former missionary, called back home, and is pastoring there, leading a great church. We had a great week there, and there's some great listeners down there. I'm using the word great Trump uses huge. So anyway, I'll get off of that.
But they really
I agree
are.
With you. One more shout-out. I got more, and that's because I've been gone a week. And this is really through Wesley Wildman, who takes our place from time to time. Wesley visits people that are supporters, and he got to go to Ward, Arkansas, and meet Randy and Jeanette Minton. And they are great supporters of AFR, and they said their favorite program is Exploring the Word. And Wesley was just telling me, said, "Man, give Randy a shout out if you can." So I want to do that. It's great to know that we have listeners and supporters out there that love Jesus Christ, and they're partners. And the key part of this is family. And I really mm-hmm. believe this, and I've heard our president, Tim Wildman, say it many times. It says American Family Association, and let's put the emphasis on family. We're part of the family of God, and we're brothers and sisters, and I praise God for these people that we're able to meet, Alex.
Well, amen. Amen. You know, I'll tell you two things really quickly, and folks, you're listening to Exploring the Word, Alex McFarland, Bert Harper. Get your Bible, because we're going to embark on one of the most interesting Bible studies you can ever imagine. We're going to get into the book of Hebrews. But two things coming up. Tomorrow at North Greenville University, we're going to have a speaker, Bert. You ought to drive up and hear him. I hear he's great. His name is Nate Harper, Nathan Harper.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know that guy.
Yeah. Do you know him pretty good?
Let me share. He is mine and Jan's oldest son. We're proud of our three sons, Nathan, Matthew, and Micah. All three love the Lord, and we thank God for that. And that's mostly their mom teaching them and letting them lead the way. And I praise God for that. But Nathan is really into missions, and I know he'll be speaking on that. And praise the Lord. He does the weekend program with me. Called Exploring Missions,
right.
Nathan and I get to interview and talk about missions, and it's neat when your son has been a great teacher in your life, and
right.
Nathan's taught me more about missions than any of the missionary professors that I had, and so, man, I hope y'all have a great time up there, brother.
Well, I'm so excited, and he's going to give a presentation about reaching Muslims with the gospel, and so we're just so excited to put him in front of students at North Greenville University, a Christian school in South Carolina, tomorrow, Nathan Harper. But I want to say this, folks, October's coming up, and 14 through 16, I'm going to be in Lindale, Texas. That's Lyndale, Lindale, Texas, at Community Christian Fellowship. And I'll be there Friday, Saturday, Sunday, October 14, 15, 16. And so if you're listening and you're out that way, sure would love to meet you.
Amen, Texas. By the way, next week we'll be doing the Fishbowl Retreat. That's for pastors and wives. You did that about 3 years ago.
And it was great.
We're going to be up in Linden Valley Conference Center. We had it filled up. We had one or two cancellations, but that goes with the territory at the last minute. You know how it is with pastors; they can get one phone call and their whole life changes. You know.
Oh, I know.
So, but anyway, we've done that and we've taken up most of our time. But after being gone a week, I felt like it was important to give some shout outs. But let's give some little bit about the book of Hebrews. And the book of Hebrews. Now, Alex, I want to ask you the question. Who wrote Hebrews?
The Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's the best answer. That's the right answer.
That's right. You know, this is a book, folks. This is meat for the depth of study about who Jesus is. And we just want you to come along with us on this trek through Hebrews, because it really is a very profound, deep look at our Savior. But one thing about it, you know, we know God wrote the books of the Bible, but all of the different books, God worked through a human agent to write. First five books of the Bible were written by Moses. We associate the writing of the Psalms with David. The book of Hebrews, though, has who the human author was, the human penman that wrote the words God gave. You know, we don't exactly know. And as you know, Bert, it's often been attributed to the Apostle Paul. Sometimes it's been attributed to others. This is not a widely held opinion. I kind of, at least, am open to it that maybe Paul and Luke together worked on it.
Yeah, there's a possibility. I was reading that too, and let me give you my thoughts on it. One of the great eloquent speakers in the New Testament that you hear people talk about, and Paul talked about it, was Apollos. Okay. how eloquent. Now, whether that eloquence in his speech went to his writing, we don't know. But if his speech and his writing was comparable, you know, this could be Apollos, because the scripture, the Greek word that is used, it's a lot of the Septuagint that is quoted from it. And so there's evidence of different ones, but you hit it on the head. The Holy Spirit, you know, led the author of the book of Hebrews, and it covers what you'd call the Christology and soteriology. Those two things, the study of Christ and the study of the salvation he brings, you don't get any better than the book of Hebrews on those two subjects, do you?
That's true. And it's written to Jewish Christians, and whoever the author of Hebrews was, and folks, remember, now just think about this. Just as Jesus was fully divine yet fully human, but not fallen human. So there was two natures to Jesus, the living word. There's really two natures to Scripture, the written word. The Bible is fully divine. It is the word of God. But God did work through human writers to put the ink on the paper, or on the parchments, rather. And so oftentimes you do see in the language and the personality of the writers, like 1st and 2nd Peter has a certain voice to it that was Peter's. So when God gave his word through the human penman, the Proverbs of Solomon, you know, the prophecies of Daniel and Isaiah, the Spirit of God got written what God wanted written, but didn't overrule the personality of the writer.
That's a dynamic that we cannot completely understand. That's the reason I call the dynamic Word of God. Let me ask you one more question. We ask who wrote it, and we've discussed that. What book of the Bible does not have the name of God in it, and which book of the Bible starts, and it's two different books, starts, it's the only book that starts with God? And I know Esther does not even have God's name there, but you sure see the hand of God. But what's unique about Hebrews here?
Yeah. I've thought this was just an amazing, you know, and I'm a writer, and I've always appreciated the way Hebrews begins. It says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Okay, it's almost like a great prologue or introduction. Hebrews 1 begins, but you said there was another book that begins with...
No, I didn't. I said Esther didn't have the name of God in it, but you see the hand of God. But you see in Hebrews, the writer, what he does is show the hand of God operating through Christ Jesus, because he was God, but also in bringing our salvation. It's just so evident, isn't it?
Well, it is. It's just a very beautiful panoramic introduction. Let me just say this, though, for those that, and Paul probably, at least if he wasn't the complete author, had something to do with it. Hebrews closes with the words, "Grace be with you all."
Yeah.
And Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon also close with those words, "Grace be with you all."
Alex, to sum up that, whoever wrote the book of Hebrews, there was some Pauline influence, you know?
Well said.
You're listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio. Alex and Bert with you, and we'll be back with more right after the break.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber.
8 Days of Hope 12 will be going to Black River, South Carolina. Last year in October, 25 inches of rain fell in the state, causing $22 billion of damage. And now you and I get a chance to go to South Carolina this fall and encourage people who feel like they've been forgotten. We have 70 homes out of the 250 homes that we're looking to work in that need brand new roofs. If you've ever done any roofing whatsoever, a couple roofs in your life, or maybe you've led a roofing crew or worked in construction, consider coming to 8 Days of Hope. We're looking for plumbers, carpenters, painters. Man, there's something for everybody. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com. We hope to see you there.
Be the hands and feet of Jesus. Visit 8daysofhope.com. Please pray for this relief effort and for the families affected by this flood. And if you can't volunteer but would still like to help, donations are also needed. You can give and learn more at 8daysofhope.com.
On October 6th and 7th, College of the Ozarks in beautiful Branson, Missouri will host the Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty. Confirmed speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Liberty Institute President Kelly Shackelford, and from the American Family Association, Abraham Hamilton III.
The founders enshrined religious liberty as the first among the freedoms protected in the Bill of Rights because they recognized that the prosperity of the American Republic rose or fell with its religious freedom.
As our nation spirals into a deeper moral pit, this event may reconnect attendees with the intents of the Founding Fathers. It's high time Christians did something to preserve our liberties before they're lost forever. The Pensmore National Symposium on Religious Liberty is designed to inspire participants with a greater resolve through better understanding of the issue. The cost is $50 per person, and student admission is free. More information is available at afr.net.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. We're going to Israel in March, March 9 through the 17th. We'll be going to the land of the Bible, the Holy Land. We'll be seeing so many places every day. The days are just full of things you've read about in the Bible. And one of the things that I enjoy about our trip is wearing people out. And we'll be wearing folks out during our trip of Israel, because I know that when folks pay to go to Israel, they want to see it all, and we'll be seeing it all, including Bethlehem, Jericho, Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, Nazareth, and much, much more. Won't you join us on this special tour of Israel in March? For more information, just call us and we'll send you a brochure at 800-FAMILIES, 800-FAMILIES, option 5, or go on the web at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, a complete debate preview. We'll be joined by the director of Jihad Watch, Robert Spencer, and from the Center for Immigration Studies, Marguerite Tilford. They will tell us what questions they would ask the candidates. Also, political communications analyst Seton Motley breaks down the debate preparations and tactics of the nominees. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell in richly, changing the ways that I see. Fill me with fatherly wisdom. Plant me deep like a tree by the stream.
Welcome back. Exploring the Word. This is Bert and Alex with you today, and we're starting the book of Hebrews. I know we studied James last time, and we're looking at Hebrews, and you go from James that has theology in it, don't, and doctrine in it, but is known more for practicality. And now with Hebrews, we go to, I would say, the Grand Canyon of doctrine with some practical things in it. So both of them deal with some of the same things, but in a different perspective and volume as well. But Alex, you already read chapter 1 and 2. I want to read it again. It deserves it. Like you said, this is kind of like a preamble to it, an introduction. I'm going to read 1, 2, and 3. Matter of fact, it says, God, who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, honestly, these verses, we could spend a week dissecting and sharing them. But I do want to start with we've already talked about God. He introduced, the writer says, God's done this. But notice the terms, various times in different ways. Now, various times has to go back from the book of Genesis. He made himself known in the garden. He's made himself known in the law. He's made himself known in different times. but in different ways. And one of those ways is by the prophets. But he made it, you know, so God has chosen to make himself known. So here's the comment, and this is so important in the area of theology and missions. It is God, there is a God, and he is knowable. Okay?
Amen.
God being knowable. He is otherworldly. His ways are beyond our ways. His thoughts are beyond our thoughts. But we can know him through his son, Jesus Christ, can't we?
We absolutely can. I mean, and when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've got a relationship with the eternal God, the creator, but also the sustainer of the universe. Bert, I just think there's so much in verse 3. Says, who being the brightness of his glory, the expressed image of his person. All right, if you want to know who God is, look at Jesus. If you want to know the Heavenly Father, look at Jesus, because Jesus, all the full glory, the power, the wisdom, Jesus is God incarnate. And when John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The word only begotten, literally what it means is of the same nature or essence. So Jesus has the very nature of God. But let me just point out this. It says, upholding all things by the word of his power. Do you know that almost is identical to Colossians 1:17 that says that Christ not only created, but holds it together, sustains it.
Yeah.
And so, folks, think about this. You know, there's mass and there's energy. And scientists name you know, the elements of the universe, but they don't really understand it. And do you know, science, for all of its great accomplishments, doesn't really understand how the atoms are bound together, the molecules that make up matter. What are those nuclear forces that hold the molecules and the atoms together? They don't really know. They describe it. Folks,
we know, don't we?
This universe, think about it right now. Let's say you're sitting at a desk or wherever you are. You know, there's even the wooden desk in front of me is molecules in motion. Now, why doesn't the world just unravel and fly apart? Well, the bonding of the molecules, but they don't really know why that is. Hebrews 1:3 says it, and Colossians chapter 1 says it. And friend, that's why we urge you to come to Christ, because look, one day God will say enough.
That's right.
And his sustaining hand will be lifted from this universe, and the stars will fall from the heavens, and time will come to an end. But think about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who spoke it into existence, holds it all together, you and I right now.
If he can hold this universe together, he can hold your life together, okay?
Praise God.
That's the bottom line. Now, real quickly, before we get out of verse 3, again, there's the temptation to stay in this passage, and we may do it for this segment. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit hopefully guide us through this. But notice what it says. It says in verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things. The word all, it's all, and that's all it means. All things by the word of his power. Now, how was it expressed? What was the greatest expression? The last part of verse 3. When he had by himself purged our sins. Okay,
yes.
Look at that. Look at the wording of that when. In other words, his culmination of everything was when he died on the cross, and he would come and pay the price for our penalty of our sin. And it said, by himself, you know, you remember that song, must Jesus bear the cross alone?
And all the world
go free? He had to bear it by himself, and notice what he did, purged our sins. It wasn't just a matter of covering them up like it was before, atonement, covering, you know, the bloods of animals and sacrifices. Those were temporary, right, Alex, in the Old Testament?
Yeah.
But Jesus comes along, and he comes eternal. So it brings in the latter part of verse 3, set down by the right hand of the Majesty on high. I know it means a lot of things, but that means he completed his mission when he sat down there, didn't it?
he really did. And I know we've talked about this before, but think about this. Think about how much Jesus loves you and how, yes, the cross and the payment of the sin of the world is the culmination, the most vivid illustration of God's power and love. Okay, so Jesus created everything, holds it all together. Just think about the nails in his hands and feet. Think about that cross rubbing his beaten back, even more bloody and wounded, and the crown of thorns. Even as he hung there on the cross and the sin of the world was poured on him, the very instruments of his torture, the nails and the cross, he was willfully holding it all together even as he hung there in the pain that it was causing him. Now, why did he do that? Because he loves you. Isn't that amazing?
It is beyond description, and it is his unexplainable, his unexhaustible, his undescriptive gift of salvation. And it is in Christ, in Christ alone. Notice this: set down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And again, this is preacher language, and I admit it, because you're looking for words that start with the same letter. His work was completed, but it also demonstrates he started or commenced a new ministry. This is where he becomes our intercessor, isn't it? Making intercession for us.
That's right. Yeah, and you know, Romans tells us that we have an advocate before the Father who intercedes for us. And the being at the right hand of the Father implies not only the fact that he can be our advocate and our intercessor for us, but equal in power, equal in stature, and equal in authority. Now, verse 4.
But before you go from there, Alex, I hate to interrupt, but according to Philippians, after he had done all this, God gave him a name that's higher than any other name. In other words, when he left heaven, he was here. But when he comes back, having been obedient to the Father, in the Father's eyes, it's hard to explain, he even gave him the highest, higher position, according to the book of Philippians. Now, again, I can't comprehend all that means, but it does mean that Jesus Christ is everything hinges upon what you do with him, doesn't it? I mean,
exactly.
That's the whole, people want to know, well, what about this church? What about this ministry? What about that doctrine? You make a beeline for Jesus Christ and see what they say about him. That is your hallmark of test, isn't it?
Exactly. You know, Charles Spurgeon, who we quote so often, and we love Spurgeon. By the way, if you want to begin to get into Spurgeon, I would highly recommend you buy the book Morning and Evening Devotions. It's just so good. But Spurgeon said, think little of sin, and you'll think little of the cross where our sin was paid. If you think little of the cross, you'll think little of Christ. Sin is serious. That's why something so extreme was necessary to pay for our sin. But Philippians 2 verse 9 says that God exalted Jesus in what he did and gave him the highest place of honor, the name above all other names. And, you know, we could do a show on what that might mean. And, you know, there are a lot of venerated names in history, you know, and we talk about kings and leaders and people that, you know, benevolent, sacrificial, just great people. But Jesus is the name above all names. Bert, do you know, this is, I think, maybe 10 years ago, of all things, Sports Illustrated magazine, Sports Illustrated, did an article. I think it was at the year 2000 as we entered the new millennia, but the greatest comebacks in all of history. And there have been sports teams and great comebacks and, you know, championships that were won in the final second. But Sports Illustrated, you can Google this, the greatest comeback in all of history, much to everybody's surprise, they said was Jesus. What could be a better comeback than dead and buried, yet resurrected?
Amen.
And listen, we could give you So many reasons. The greatest love, the greatest sacrifice, the greatest rescue, the greatest return, the greatest story, the greatest identity. There have been good men, but only Jesus was the God-man. And that's why, like verse 4, talks about his excellent name.
Let me read this, because I want you to continue. After he does that, after he has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, again, Alex, I want you to continue. Don't lose your thought. But I want folks that listen to Exploring the Word, they know good and well I'm going to talk about repeated words. The word better is going to be repeated again and again and again, and it goes along with what you were just saying about Jesus being the greatest. And the theme of the book of Hebrews is introduced here. Jesus is better than anything, isn't it? He's greater. He's better, isn't he?
Oh, do you know what? I got a record of vintage blues recordings. And you know, back in the 20s when they first could record, and I like that old time music. And there was a gospel singer. This is from, you know, 90 years ago, 80 years ago. But it said, "Jesus, He is my everything," and He is. And you know, we're gonna get over there to Hebrews chapter 2 that says He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Now, a lot of people are into, you know, spirituality or angels, and people are always asking me, you know, do I have a guardian angel and can I contact my guardian angel? Hey, thank God for angels, but you don't need to worry about angels. You need to think about Jesus. Verse 4 and 5, He's so much better than the angels because God took on a human body. Verse 5 says, "For unto which of the angels did God ever say at any time, 'You are my son, this day have I begotten thee'? Again, I will be to him a father, and he to me a son." Be careful that you don't delve off into spirituality when what God has really called you to is salvation and a relationship with the Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ, the one and only Savior.
Well said. Now let's take a moment to talk about the word angels just for a moment. It's not really a translation of a Greek word. It is a transliteration. By that we mean the meaning is not translated, but the sound is angelos in the Greek language.
Messenger.
But it means messenger, okay? So what we've done in our society today, we've done something with angels that the Bible does not do, you know? And it gives them, you know, they are messengers and agents of God, okay? And I know it seems like Michael and Gabriel, they were the archangels. We know that. And we know the seraphim and cherubim. We know that. But and I do believe people are given guardian angels at certain times. I told people I probably have had more than one because I'd wear one out so many. But the whole idea here is I think there may have been a glorification of angels in that day, and that's the reason the writer of Hebrews starts off with this, because there was a tendency in Hebrew culture to glorify certain areas, prophets, and I think he was doing this on purpose, Alex, is exactly what you were talking about, spirit, you know, being spiritual. You can go off on the deep end in that area of angels, can't you?
Yeah, and do you know what? Let me just say this. That's just so easy and so convenient to focus on angels and some abstract, undefined spirituality. And it might sound good, but listen carefully, folks. The spirituality of being obsessed with angels or thinking about, you know, invisible things, it doesn't really demand much of anything, and it doesn't really promise anything, and it doesn't really cause you to change your life. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is really specific. You've got to admit you're a sinner and turn away from it, and take up your cross and follow the Savior who is also the Lord.
It is Jesus. Jesus is better. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
What does it mean for something to be extraordinary? Well, think about the word for a moment. To be extraordinary means to be extra or more than ordinary. You see, most of the Christian life is made up of the ordinary, our day-to-day following in obedience to the direction of God through His Word. And there's nothing wrong with that. But there are times when God shows up in an extraordinary way. And we call those times seasons of revival. In fact, revival has been defined as the extraordinary movement of God which produces extraordinary results. Now, think of that in relation to your church. Does your church need one more program? Or could it use the extraordinary movement of God? This is Mark Bearden at Revive Faith for OneCry.com.
As a group, millennials have more than $1 trillion in purchasing power. So you know businesses are watching us. By 2025, we'll comprise 75% of the workforce. So employers are watching us. Despite these positives, millennials are losing our faith. So we know Satan is watching us. Engage Magazine is for millennials by millennials. And it speaks to faith, purpose, and a closer walk with Jesus. Because above all, God is watching us. Visit EngageMagazine.net and listen Saturday afternoons at 5:30 Central on AFR.
This is Tim Armstrong from the Worthy Walk radio program. I encourage you to listen as we work verse by verse through the scriptures each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Time here on American Family Radio. Join me as we explore the Word of God and learn to apply its truths to our lives each day. The Worthy Walk radio program, Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio.
Dan Celia, of Financial Issues.
I think income ultimately is the most important thing that we protect. I know one thing, and I know this from sitting across a lot of tables from a lot of people over the years, that at some point in time, maybe it's 75, maybe it's 85, there will be a point in time where the only thing you care about is how much income you have coming in. Don't let your portfolio be 100% subject to the volatility in the markets or dependent upon the market. Shore up some permanent income along with Social Security and your maybe a pension. Have some charitable gift annuity to shore that up. I hope you'll call the AFA Foundation today and find out more detail about a charitable gift annuity.
Call and speak with a representative of the AFA Foundation at 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
That introduction to this segment tells what Alex and I do, that you might understand Jesus Christ, that He obtained what we could not, and He obtained it for us. And by faith, by His grace, you can know Him. If you need help, there's a number you can call. It's 888-NEED-HIM, 888-NEED-HIM, and there's some people there that will help you come to know Christ as your personal Savior.
Amen.
We've got people online, so let's go. That number is 888-589-8840. I've got so many numbers in front of me, I have to pick the right one, but it's 888-589-8840. Let's go to Ohio and talk to Patty. Patty, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you. I just would like to say how much of a blessing you guys are to me. I listen to Christian radio every day. On my job, I am so blessed that I have an environment that I can actually play it in. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a professional hand holder. I do fingerprints and mugshot in a secured facility, and I fingerprint mainly women, and I talk about Jesus every day to them.
Oh, wow, Patty.
God bless you, sister. God bless you.
Man, Alex, one of the greatest things that this program does, we heard somebody say this, they love the dialogue that you and I have rather than just, you and I are both preachers, so we could take this hour, because you've done it and I've done it. We've heard each other preach for about an hour before, so we could do that. But you and I talk about it. We try to honestly have conversation about it. And then we bring others in on that conversation. I really do believe that makes it effective. And it helps us for Patty to call in and say, I feed on what y'all do. And then she's able to take that and share it with others, isn't she?
You know, half the time when Bert and I call on the phone and we're talking about the show and we're having prayer, sometimes I wish that we could broadcast our phone calls because we get excited. I didn't tell you this, but when I was in Richmond last week, I met a lot of wonderful people. But, you know, two or three came up and they said, where's Bert? And I said, well, he's on the road. And I jokingly, I said, you know, he doesn't just ride around in the car with me all the time. But, ma'am, thank you for listening. And God bless you for your witness. But, you know, it is a blessing that we're able to converse. And if Bert and I sound excited about God's word, it's because we are. We mm-hmm. love this stuff. We really, really do.
We do. And more than anything else is sharing it. And we want others. Paul, his desire was not just to him to go in Christ, but him to help others. Timothy came along. I mean, Barnabas came along. I mean, Mark, he wanted even Mark. You come back, Mark. I've got something for you. You've got something for me. And so praise the Lord, Patty, and keep holding those hands, okay? Let's go to Georgia and talk to Lee. Lee, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I had a question about 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I think it starts in chapter 20. I'm driving, so I can't look it up and read it verbatim. But at one part, it seems like they're saying that tongues is for believers and prophecy is for non-believers. And then a little bit further down, it swaps and says tongues is for non-believers and prophecy is for believers. And I've just had some trouble wrapping my head around that. I was wondering if you guys could speak to that. I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Okay. Thank you, Lee. And we love Georgia. We got a lot of great listeners, especially in the southern part of Georgia. Alex, okay, many times, especially, let's look at the book of Acts real quick before we get to 1 Corinthians. In the book of Acts, there is, I'm talking about ample evidence that the tongues that they were speaking was languages. They heard the gospel in their own language. And each time it refers, it says, as it was on Pentecost. In 1 Corinthians, there seems to be a little bit of that, but also it seems to deviate with a language, an ecstatic utterance. And here it's called a sign gift, okay? Mm-hmm. If I understand what sign gifts, it's for frontier areas. And if you'll read Corinthians 14, and then read Mark 16, a bunch of that. If you'll read it missionally, I think it does begin to make even more sense that a lot of these are sign languages to introduce the gospel to a certain area or a certain group, and then the word of God comes in and clarifies. I do believe that Lee is talking about it. It is a little bit difficult to understand.
Well, and folks, this is so beautiful. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there's a quote in there, Bert. In verse 21, there's a quote from Isaiah 28:11, and it says, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will not hear me, yet for all will they not hear me. All right, when did God speak to other men with other tongues? I believe it was on the day of Pentecost, because remember, the gospel was to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. And the Bible says that Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not. Not all. There were many Jews that did believe and follow Jesus, and there were those that didn't. But Bert, I think one thing to keep in mind is for many a first century Jew, the idea that the Gentiles, the dogs, the profane, and the word profane, from which we get the word profanity, originally meant outside the temple. See, the Gentiles were profane because they were outside the temple, and the idea that they could come into a relationship with the covenant God of Israel, that was kind of a big thing to the minds of a lot of people, wasn't it?
It was. It was beyond their imagination.
So 1 Corinthians 14 talks about tongues and prophecy. And the bottom line is this: God has given people the ability to speak the gospel in a previously unknown language. If you read in Acts chapter 2, there's 15 and maybe 16 languages mentioned. But then there's the gift of prophecy in verse 24, 1 Corinthians 14, which is teaching, not necessarily foretelling the future, but forthtelling the Word of God. I'm going to summarize this, verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 14. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So here's the deal. God is all about getting that salvation message to people so they can understand and have a chance to respond, isn't he, Bert?
He is, and that's the message. And if you honestly interpret Scripture, not so much from what it does for me, but God saves you, and then he leaves you. If he was only interested in saving your soul, you'd be saved and he'd take you to heaven. He leaves you here for discipleship, but also to be a part of the greatest mission work in the world, and that's carrying the gospel, just exactly what Alex said. And the sign gift seems to be that of the introduction of frontier. There seems to be more healing, more tongues, in those areas when it's being introduced. After that, read the book of Acts. It seems they settle back into, yes, there's healing, but it's not like it's prolific because they're settling into the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's doing a work in their lives that changes their lives. That's an area of disagreement on some areas. Don't let it be a big deal. When we get to heaven, I doubt if we're going to split over that. So make sure Christ is Lord of your life. And Lee, I hope we gave a little bit. I would say the sign is for the frontier area, but after he's been introduced, you go to the Word of God, like Alex said, the prophecy, the preaching of God's Word, and it is able to grow you and to become mature in Christ. So thank you for listening. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Matthew. Matthew, welcome.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to ask you, you know, like I've really kind of focused on last little bit of reading Genesis and even in the New Testament about Joseph, both Josephs, and I'm kind of a dreamer too. I've got some dreams I think God's given me, and you know, how long do you wait on the dream? How long do you pursue what God's put in your heart before you, and how do you know you've arrived? I think that's my question.
Okay. Dreams. God, they're evident right in the Old Testament, and especially with Joseph, the husband of Mary, the dreams were very important. How important are they today, Alex?
Oh, well, Joseph, you read Genesis 37 through 45, had these dreams, and, you know, make sure whether it's a dream or it's maybe a feeling, you're feeling, you know, God is speaking to you. God will never contradict his word, and make sure that you're intimately familiar with the Word of God and you're daily reading your Bible so that you won't, you know, be misled in something that's really not of God. I do think that he shows his will for our life through his word, maybe through the word of fellow believers that, you know, are speaking a word of wisdom or counsel to you through circumstances. I like what I hear in your heart, brother, because you're talking about a dream. You think it's from God. How long do you wait? The answer is a long time if need be. Psalm 37 verse 4 says, commit your way to the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Doesn't mean necessarily that, you know, the material wants that you have, God is guaranteed to provide, although he may. In fact, generally God blesses you more than you could ever dream of. I think, Bert, what happens along the journey is God does allow you to accomplish things, and many of the dreams of your heart he will give. Sometimes, though, what he does, he changes your heart and gives you brand new priorities. But the wonderful adventure of being a disciple is every day you're walking with the Lord, you're listening to the Spirit, you're feeding on his word, and not only will he give you joy and bless you and use you, and you will see fruit in this life. Bert, don't you see fruit in this life? But he'll also do some surprises that will amaze you beyond anything you could ever have dreamed for yourself.
I agree. I want to use you as an example. Whether it was a dream, you dreamed at night, or a desire that you had, that kind of dream, your dream of being an author, Alex. I mean, and God has fulfilled that. How many books have you written now?
17.
Okay, and that was a desire, a dream of your heart, wasn't it?
I hope to someday write a book, one book. And, you know, God is so good, and maybe we'll have a testimony show sometime, but, you know, I'm living proof, you know. God is so faithful. My dear brother, whatever your dreams might be, just make sure that the supreme desire of your heart is to give God the glory. Matthew 6:33.
And depend on the word. Amen. Depend on the word of God. It's a more sure word.
Yeah.
And you bring your dreams that you desire, dreams, or your dreams you dream at night and you got it. You bring them subject to the word of God.
Right.
And that's the whole area. And that's why we do Exploring the Word. Matthew, thank you for calling. Let's go to Timothy in Texas. Timothy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Larry, that's why we do Exploring
the Word. Okay, get your radio off there, Timothy. Go ahead, brother. Timothy?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead.
And I want to thank you for your presentation, but there's two things that I have to talk to you about, and that's just your wonderful presentation about Jesus on the cross and how very powerful that was. But you forgot to mention the words spoken. Jesus spoke to his mother. He spoke to John, the apostle. He spoke to the good thief on the cross next to him. He spoke to his heavenly father. There's eight or nine words that Jesus used, or many, many words that Jesus used. And he was on there for three solid hours.
Timothy, it's seven words or seven sayings of Jesus on the cross.
Yeah.
And each you gather those from the Gospels, you're exactly right. And what's amazing about him, Alex, is he's taking care of his mom. He takes care of the thief on the cross. But also he takes care of us. That's the good news, isn't it?
Yeah. He says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And he says to the thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. He says to John, behold your son, son, behold your mother. My God, why have you forsaken me? He quotes Psalm 22. He says, I thirst. He says, it is finished.
Mm.
And then the final statement.
Paid in full. Doesn't that mean that? Paid in full. Everything's
paid
done.
Paid in full.
Paid in full.
And do you remember the final thing that he said?
Father?
Into your hands I commend my spirit.
Jesus was controlling his death, wasn't he?
He really was. And you know, it says he yielded up his spirit.
Yeah.
It wasn't taken from him. He closed his eyes and died. So he could take up his life again because he could lay it down.
Amen. Timothy, you've made us realize we may do just one of our recordings that we do ever on the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross.
Oh, we and should.
I'm writing that one down. Thank you, brother, for calling, and praise God for you. Let's go to Missouri. Try to get one more call in. James, real quickly, hadn't got a lot of time, but go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir. I'll try to do this as quickly as I can. I don't know what verse and book of the Bible it is, but it talks about an unclean spirit being cast out and then six more of them coming in more worse than the first. I had a pastor and an evangelist both suggest that had to do with demons coming out of Christians and then coming back into a born-again Christian. So I wanted to know what your thoughts were about that.
Alex, I haven't got a lot of time. Can Christians be influenced, or are they indwelled by demons?
Matthew chapter 12, lost people can be demon-possessed. I think Christians that have a truly born-again Christian in whom the Holy Spirit dwells might be harassed or demonized, but not really demon-possessed. But Matthew 12:45 talks about, someone going and a spirit is driven out, but then it comes back and takes seven other spirits more evil than itself. You know, I think that's talking about somebody that's maybe not really fully given themselves to Christ. They've dabbled, they've been exposed, but they've not really been converted. But folks, the takeaway is this. It's a spirit-filled universe. There's God, and there's truth, and there's angels, and there's demons, and there's error and darkness. Make sure you run to Christ and stay there with him.
Amen. When Christ indwells you, he is on the throne. You need to keep him there. Amen?
Amen.
Alex, good to be back with you, brother.
Great to be back. Folks, read up on Hebrews 1, because tomorrow there we will continue.
Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word here on the American Family Radio. Tell someone about the program. But Alex, what's more important than that?
Tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.